Evening, church.
Amen.
Do I have my PowerPoints? Celebrate with the angels. It should be at the very back almost. It has been a great honor, a great privilege, and a great joy to be with you. Thank you for having me. Thank you to the eldership for hosting me, for inviting me, Brother Gibbs, Brother Jones, Brother Glass, and as well as the communication team. I appreciated all the kindness, hospitality, and love and encouragement. I feel full. I will preach a sermon, and there will be a baptism. I will walk to the back to shake hands. And as I'm standing back there, I can almost guarantee that after a baptism, a congregation will not clap in celebration. And they will walk in the very back, and somebody will say to me, "I can't believe we didn't clap for that baptism." I will stand in the back after there is a baptism, and the congregation will clap in celebration, and they will rejoice. And I will stand in the back as I'm shaking hands, and somebody will walk up to me and say, "I can't believe we clapped." And I stand there in sadness, because if that's where we are, we have missed it. We have missed it. That when somebody has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they have risen up out of that watery grave and they have newness of life. And all we care about is if we clapped or didn't clap, we have missed it. Because baptism is bigger than clapping or not clapping. It's about having your name written in the book of life. But we struggle with baptismal celebration. And I love our churches, the Lord's church, because we are a people of restoration. That means that no matter what, we go back to the book, we look at the New Testament pattern, and we align ourselves up with that. And so if we look at ourselves today and we are not in alignment with the New Testament pattern, we have to be restored. And we need a restoration of celebration in our congregations. We have had baptisms in our congregations, and people rise up and we tell them that this is the biggest decision of your life. That this been the moment, the biggest choice, bigger than who you marry, where you go to school, and what you do as a job. This is the number one decision. And they rise up in joy, and everybody says, I wonder where we're going to eat. And we will walk out of a church building instead of walking down to congratulate the person who has given their life to the Lord. If you look at the New Testament, they celebrated salvation. And we need to go back to that pattern. Baptismal celebration is powerful. I remember in Waynesboro, we started this practice, and somebody said to me, I said, "I want to have a baptismal celebration Sunday." It didn't mean that we waited. They get baptized as soon as they're ready. You don't ever wait. But once a year, we would have a list of all the people who were baptized that year, and we had a special Sunday to honor them. Now that meant we had a potluck. But we gave them a picture of the congregation, not of the building, but of the people. And we had everybody sign the edges of it so they knew we were family, that we were dedicated to them. And then we invited their friends and family. And it was one of the largest days of attendance in the congregation each year, because family and friends wanted to celebrate with them. They would invite their friends and family to church and say, "Come, this is a day that is honoring my dedication to the Lord." What an evangelistic opportunity. And then we would celebrate and honor them for their decision. Baptismal celebration. Shouldn't it be that outside of the box? We celebrate everything else. We celebrate Easter, Christmas, Valentine's Day. I have the audacity to make my family celebrate my birthday. That we will celebrate our birthdays bigger than we will celebrate a baptism. We got to restore the celebration in the spirit. This is a picture of my family, and I mostly just show it so you can see how good looking my wife is. But I want to highlight something. When my children were baptized, we mark that date every year. And usually we'll take them out someplace to eat. We'll buy them a little gift, but we want them to know that that day was special. That it wasn't another day. And then as the years pass, we don't forget it. We celebrate and we remind ourselves of the decision that they made. And to hold fast to that call. In your family, I want to challenge you. What do you do in your family to celebrate a baptism in the home? We don't even speak that way, do we? We don't even think that. But we will make a big to-do over our birthdays, but not our spiritual birthday. And it's not about us. It's about celebrating the day of my salvation. We need to restore this. And so I want to challenge this congregation. This is something for the leadership to think about, for the members to think about, for the congregation as well as for the home. How can we celebrate people coming to the Lord more often and let them know we care about the decision that you made? Because it is biblical. It is biblical. I'm going to go through some verses and I'm going to go fast. But if anybody leaves here thinking, "I don't know about that," you are not listening to the Word of God. Look at what it says, Colossians 1, 12 to 14. "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You have gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice because God has saved us. If you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 33 to 34, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds," the Philippian jailer, "and he was baptized at once, he and all his house. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them," the biblical precedent of feeding the preacher. "And he rejoiced." He rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed. He rejoiced. When he was saved, they ate, they celebrated, and they rejoiced because he was sinless. This is biblical. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 to 49. "And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region, they rejoiced. But then it comes to Luke chapter 15, 6 to 7. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And the reason there's joy in heaven, and if you look at the theology of the book of Luke, over and over again, the religious people aren't happy that the lost people are saved. Think about the story and the point of the prodigal son. The older brother who's saved and at home is mad that they're having a party for the younger brother who has been found. We got to bring back celebration. But look at this. Luke 15:10. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If you look at the entirety of the Word of God, do you know where the angels are rejoicing with us? That we are with the angels rejoicing. And they rejoice two times. They rejoice in the presence of God, and they rejoice when a sinner is saved. If the angels are rejoicing, if God is rejoicing, if the early church is rejoicing, we got to rejoice as well. Because when we rejoice, when people see the joy in our hearts, when somebody has been saved, they will know we mean what we're saying. We can't say, "Come and be saved," and then when they make that decision, we walk out the door more concerned about clapping or not clapping, that we walk out that door to go eat lunch instead of go and celebrate with them that day. We got to restore celebration. A couple years ago, this lady I was studying with, she wanted to be baptized. And she was immersed, and she rose up out of that water and she punched me right in the sternum. And I thought, "Oh no, it didn't work." But everybody that I have baptized and had that honor and privilege to be with them in that moment, I ask them this one question every time. "How do you feel?" And every time they say, "I feel great." Do you remember that day in your own life? Do you remember that day when you rose up out of that water? You received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that you were sinless, that you were saved, that you were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Do you remember that day? We got to restore that memory in our congregations, because they rise up and they say, "I feel great." Let us rejoice with them. Let us bring back that spirit. If we are going to be evangelistic, we got to act like we mean it. And we got to believe that when somebody is saved, it is the greatest decision that they will ever make. And it is today up to you to make that decision. If you will believe, confess, repent, and be baptized for remission of your sins, rise up out of that water, and we will rejoice with you. We will celebrate with you because you made the greatest decision ever. Why don't you ponder that as we stand and sing the invitation song?
Now to believe, almost persuaded, Christ to receive. Seeing now some soul to save, God, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Oh,